I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash. We're building bridges.
In December 1984, four youths were shot in New York, riding the train while black. Daryl Cabey was permanently paralyzed by Bernard Goetz, who said, "I wanted to kill these guys. I wanted to maim those guys. I wanted to make them suffer in every way I could. If I had had more bullets, I would have shot them all again and again. My problem was I ran out of bullets." Goetz became known as the subway vigilante, a title he coveted. He was acquitted of attempted murder. Later, in a civil trial, Daryl Cabey was awarded millions in damages. Goetz, the subway vigilante, declared bankruptcy. In July 2014, Eric Gardner died of a chokehold during a Staten Island arrest for selling loose cigarettes, for being black and without steady work, where he repeatedly said, "I can't breathe." The murder of Jordan Neely is a fusion of both cases, rooted in poverty and racism. The attitudes of white supremacy and the policies and practices that flow from it. Daniel Penny, subway vigilante, lynched Jordan Neely. We cannot allow him to be heralded as was Bernard Goetz, who actually ran for mayor in New York City in 2001. Nor can he be applauded as is Kyle Rittenhouse, who shot three men too fatally during the Black Lives Matter protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And yet, Daniel Penny has already raised more than $1.2 million to support his lynching Jordan Neely. Daniel Penny, judge, jury, and executioner. Daniel Penny, you're not going to choke this young man to death and not let us stand up and raise our voices in indignation. The protests will continue, and are urging that the criminal charges against Penny be increased to second-degree murder, that is, depraved indifference to human life, and that charges be brought against the two other strap hangers, all involved in the chokehold death, 15 minutes, of Jordan Neely by a trained ex-Marine. Jordan Neely was killed because he was black, homeless, and hungry, and poor, understandably distraught.
Now say his name, Jordan Neely. Say his name, Jordan Neely, as we head to the rally at City Hall for justice for Jordan Neely and accountability.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
We don't get it!
Shut it down!
We don't get it!
Shut it down! Woo!
My name is Selena Trowell. Homelessness Union organizers at Volplace. Our organization has worked tirelessly to organize poor communities impacted by the war on drugs, homelessness, mass incarceration, and those living with HIV and AIDS. It's never easy work putting in space real people with real problems fighting for real solutions. Yeah. And so today, we needed to call our community together, those supporters who go above and beyond, understand their privilege, and help us to liberate a system that has been meant to destroy us, a system that didn't want to see Jordan Neely alive. It did exactly what it was designed to do. As a result, about a year later, we're standing right here in front of press saying that negative narratives, stigmas, and warping of words are lethal. And we called on press then to be considerate and conscious and have empathy about how you talk about the people who live on the margins, who are victims of a system that wants to see them killed.
Right.
Of a system that wants to ensure that 90% of the ones who are impacted by homelessness are black, brown, undocumented. undocumented.
That ain't right. That
immigrant
ain't
communities.
Right.
Disabled. It impacts us all. Just know, according to the Coalition for Homeless, 67% of single adults who are experiencing homelessness are disabled.
That ain't right.
When they're pushed to the margins, when they're pushed to the streets, that they are 11 times more likely to be victims of violence instead of perpetuated.
Right.
When you are pushing a narrative that the only way to help people that are going through mental health care complexities like we all do every day
right.
is to incarcerate them to care. That's actually horrific. It could be you. That the only way for care is incarceration, whether you're being handcuffed by the police or handcuffed to a hospital bed for treatment against your will, where you're threatened to make sure you have care or not go to jail. That's not care. That's not compassion. And we refuse to have this mayor co-opt that. How dare a mayor insinuate that the only way he can help people is by incarcerating them into a hospital or ER. When he continues to build upon an austerity budget that continues to cut the vital resources that we need. Wake up. We are so tired of the switching bait. But Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Kathy Hochul, for every Jordan Neely, there's at least 15 to 20 Daniel Perrys.
That's right. That's right.
At least. That are waiting for a moment to self-deputize.
Yep.
That are waiting for a moment to become vigilantes.
That's right.
Because they took your word in helping to clean up the streets.
That ain't right.
And they got away with it. Because
right.
of their skin
right.
color.
That ain't right.
And because of their service to this country. No accountability. But Mayor Adams and Kathy Hochul, it falls on you.
That's right.
That's right.
Kathy Hochul, you had a chance to house thousands. You did nothing because you wanted your real estate buddies to get a bigger share of the pie.
That ain't right.
Talk about it.
That ain't right.
Mayor Adams, you continue to talk. Oh, and let me be very clear. The reason why I can flex and say his name the way I can, because I'm a black woman from Brownsville, the same community that he constantly talks about, that he constantly criminalizes.
Yeah.
And here I am doing the work. In an organization that does the work.
That's right.
We're real impacted people.
Right.
With a couple of punchlines thrown in there.
There you go.
But we need accountability. And that comes from the mayor and the governor, because his death is on their hands.
Right.
For legitimizing that type of murder.
Yeah.
In the media.
In the media.
That ain't right.
Please, I beg of you, report responsibly. It doesn't matter what was in his system.
Matter.
If he's hungry, he's hungry.
That's it.
How dare you?
Right.
And there's no reason to ever strangle somebody to death.
That's right.
You knew better. You were trained.
That's right.
But you knew you could get away with it.
That's right.
Thanks to the mayor and the governor.
That's right.
But we're going to expand that accountability. Thank you. And I'm going to open up with one of our vocal New York leaders here, Mr. Milton Perez.
My name is Milton Perez. I'm from the Bronx, Puerto Rico.
Hey.
I'm a leader in Vocal New York's Homelessness Union.
Woo.
And I spent over 5 years in the shelter system.
That ain't right.
I stopped counting at 5 years because the new folks coming into would not believe me. And some of those folks, you know, spent 3 or 4 years themselves. The system that we deal with, carceral system, foster care, shelter system, our broken system. The system themselves are broken.
Yes.
Yes. Letting people know, you know, how many people we lost due to homelessness in the city, out on the streets, or in shelters, dying in hospitals. When I first saw the numbers at 600, it shocked me. When it went to 800, it was just beyond belief. This is what we're dealing with. The brother, Jordan Neely, joined those folks. What I saw last week, on a personal effect, sickened me to my stomach. Like I said, I spent years in the shelter system, the projects. This is something that is not acceptable. We've seen all kind of fights, all kind of situations. But most of us intervene, we'll stop, so, you know, hey, you're choking them. You know, we do intervene, you separate them.
Absolutely.
So just not to watch it, but then just to see the reaction of a lot of reporters and trolls or whatever, they inhumanity.
They're in complicity with it.
So I thank y'all, thank the folks here, spoken out, bringing some remembering Jordan, his humanity. At the end of the day, that's what we all are. Think about, you know, how was your experience, you know, who's in the shelters, you know, it's your brothers and sisters who you went to high school with, you know, people that couldn't afford the rent, families, children. But a lot of us, you know, have issued real paycheck or two from ending up in some type of shelter or asking for social services. So when we fight, we're fighting for ourselves. I think that's what it is. So all these questions by reporters that don't understand, you know, is a homeless person is your neighbor at the end of the day. Could be your neighbor.
Yeah.
You and me.
I reckon, you know, it takes time to make changes. You definitely have. It took me years to get out of this. And I had to do it on my own. I had to apply for stuff, you know what I'm saying? So it's difficult for those that, you know, that are talking about mental health, you know, the want to be psychologist or psychiatrist. Remember, if you're into the healing arts, number one is do no harm.
Do no harm. Yes.
But protect the sanctity of human life. Mm-hmm. And serve justice, peace, and equality. Thank you.
I just want to read a very quick anecdote from one of our, she thought it very important to share her words and her experience with you all. Ms. Keith is currently in a shelter for senior women with no way out. She worked in this country for 30 years and unfortunately came at a time where they closed the gates on becoming a citizen. And by the time DACA came around, she was too old. She has no way out. Here's her story. January 2019, I was dealing with an undiagnosed mental health issue, which led to a suicide attempt that landed me in a facility. 2 weeks into my treatment, I experienced a mental breakdown. Luckily for me, I had professionals around me with care. I now realized, had I suffered that breakdown outside of that facility, with care and compassion given to me, that my life could have been taken at any moment by a police officer or a vigilante. All of us are dealing with mental health issues.
That's right.
And are at the danger of losing our lives.
That's right.
Mix that with poverty, and the world would dismiss your existence because they'd rather not get outside for the world to see that you are someone. People like Jordan Neely would rather be outside because he knows that there's nowhere safe inside for him as well. Because that's how inequipped the shelters are. But I beg, is that how inequipped we are in society? We are here, we're asking that you stop dehumanizing and dismissing the lives of homeless New Yorkers. And that was from Ms. Cassie Keith. I'm gonna move us right along with our next vocal leader, Mr. Will Robinson.
My name is Will Robinson, community leader for Vocal New York. I want to take a second of silence for Mr. Neely and his family. Remember when you first came into office, you were talking about all this swag, New York swag. What you're doing now is not a New York swag, it's your swag. You turn your backs on people that really need you. Talk about homelessness, putting people in jail, incarcerating people in hospitals. That's not a home. That's not how you solve the homeless problem. First and foremost, you put in fear, that stigma of fear throughout the city about you being homeless, you're a bad person. No, this being homeless don't mean that you have a mental illness. Instead of having the fear, start to care.
Yes.
You cannot tell me you cannot put homes or put people in places. You cannot tell me that because you've been doing it for the past couple of months. I'm not saying any more about that. You got your own people that needs help. I remember when it was cold, you raised your hand and said, you're going to help people on the subway system. We're going to take them and put them in places. Yeah, that was good. I think it was 87. But let's keep it real. How long were they there? Said about the 87, you didn't talk about how many left because of the conditions they had to live in the next day, and I believe it was over 50, all right? So if you're going to talk, if you're going to be about it, too many people are dying. Right now, over 815.
That ain't right.
Yes. 815 and counting. Vigilantes, they're out there because of the stigma that they are putting behind people who doesn't have a place to stay. That's not right. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm coming straight to you and saying, instead of fear, start to care, really, and give these people what they really need to succeed. If somebody wakes up where they could get up, take a shower, washed up, they'll think of their day be a lot brighter than waking up in the subway stations. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Repeat after me. 815 and counting.
815 and counting.
815 and counting.
815 and counting.
Dead.
Dead.
Now I just want you to sit with that. That was just last year. Those experiencing homelessness, dead in public spaces. And you've heard about all of the empty apartments.
Yep.
You've heard about all the office spaces.
Yep.
You heard about the vouchers that people have a hard time using.
Yep.
You also heard that every agency is getting defunded by the mayor. Make it make sense. So really start to have hard questions when he's in your face.
But who's not getting defunded?
And we cannot police our way out of housing,
nope.
Homelessness,
nope.
The drug war,
nope.
That's really a war on poor people.
Right.
We cannot police our way.
Nope.
But we know that that ain't the plan for him anyway.
No.
Our next Vocal New York leader, Mr. Neil Berry.
Yeah.
My name is Neil Berry. I'm from Vocal New York. It's the voices of community activists and leaders. We're talking about Penny here. Penny was white, and he's an ex-Marine, and he got a pass.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to talk about the pass that he get. This is about white supremacy and anti-blackness.
Yeah.
We can go anywhere we want to go with the conversation. Sure, homeless, addiction, ex-convict. I'm a product of the system. I was directly impacted by being wrongfully convicted. So I know what I'm talking about when I step to this plate about this is white supremacy. I got busted on the war on drugs because we were black men and they didn't like it at the time. We were having success coming out of the civil rights movement. We can get a history lesson here today.
Come on.
Because we're talking about anti-blackness within our own community.
Come on,
everybody
man.
Look around here and look at themselves and how we decorate our own people. Look at the fact that white people already, we know what they're going to do.
Right.
But we ain't saying all of you, but we know the majority. But we know our own people step over our own people. We don't feed our own people.
Right.
We don't do it. We got to get together. And that means everybody, whether you white, black, Spanish, Puerto Rican. Anti-blackness is real. It's getting rid of the problem. I didn't come here for the fun and games. I'm out here to connect with anybody or be light. White supremacy is a false dichotomy. Get over it. It's a social construct called white superiority. And there ain't no such thing as black inferiority.
Anti-blackness.
Anti-blackness.
Kills.
Kills.
And we're all responsible.
We're all responsible.
To check our anti-blackness.
To check our anti-blackness.
Our sister, Khadija, joined us from YCL.
Woo!
Bring her warm welcome.
Hey. My name is Khadija. I'm here with the Young Communist League.
Woo!
Woo! And we're here to say that there is 79,190 vacant units. That's how many vacant units there are in New York City. This is a structural problem. This is a problem of white supremacy. This is a problem of patriarchy. And this is a problem of capital. And we have to uproot this system if we all want to get these things done. If we don't want there to be any more mass dispossession, mass genocide of black and brown people in general and black men in particular. Because this system cannibalizes black men. And black people, we are left to be devoured by this system. It is not only a problem of mental health. It is a problem that seeks to destroy us.
Right.
It is a problem where many black and brown people walking the streets are mentally ill. Now they're saying that you deserve to die because you're poverty ridden. And they put you in this situation on purpose. It is a strategic measure.
That's right. Yeah.
We have to uproot the evils inherent within this system. There's no reforming this system. This system must be
That's
done
right.
away with
right.
if we need something better. Adam spoke to the fact that he was sad that Jordan Neely passed. They didn't say anything about he was being murdered.
That's right.
Not only do we have to call for the indictment, which is also an abolitionist
here, here.
Demand, do not forget that.
That's right.
Not only do we have to call for the indictment of Daniel Penny, but we have to call for the indictment of Eric Adams.
That's right.
We have to call for the indictment of Governor Hochul.
Yes, yes.
We have to call for these things. And I, for one, know firsthand the issues and the horrors of dispossession. So I'm here to say it is an interconnected issue with wages. Wages are what? They raise it to $17. Where the hell can you get an apartment for $17 an hour?
Nowhere.
Where?
Nowhere. Not here.
So today we are calling for the justice of Jordan Neely. We're calling for the justice of all our black and brown people. We need revolutionary demands. We need real demands.
Yes.
And we need to uproot the system, and we need to do away with the jails.
Right.
It's happening all over the country. And the person I'm going to bring up next is going to speak to the fact that this is a national phenomenon of dehumanizing people experiencing homelessness, criminalizing poverty, and spreading lethal narratives. I would like you to give a warm welcome to Alex Matic of the National Homeless Law Center. Give it up for Alex.
I am an attorney at the National Homelessness Law Center, but I actually split half my time with the Western Regional Advocacy Project, or RAP, an organizing group on the West Coast. And what both organizations have in common is that we really keep a national vantage point of what's going on with the criminalization of homelessness across this country. It is certain that the murder of Jordan Neely, the public lynching of Jordan Neely in broad daylight, is absolutely the direct and predictable result of a calculated nationwide campaign of racialized state-sanctioned violence that aims to dehumanize and erase poor and unhoused people from our public space, especially when those folks are black and brown. We have been tracking this campaign as it has ravaged communities across this country for decades, and what we know is that it is getting worse. Cities and states which are under intense pressure from elite private right-wing entities like the Cicero Institute, like the League of Cities, they are responding with increased fervor every day to the rise of homelessness and poverty within their borders, not by addressing the structural problems that led to homelessness and poverty, but rather by doing two things. One, passing laws that make it criminal to be poor in public, and two, funneling more and more money into the police and other carceral apparatuses that are necessary for enforcing those laws. That includes, by the way, apparatuses like forced hospitalization and so-called mental health treatment, like we're seeing under Kendra's laws here, and like we're seeing in California with care courts and all across this country. It is essential to get these laws passed to justify the hefty price tag that comes with their enforcement mechanisms, that public officials create this public ethos of mass hysteria and fear that call on us, all of us, to really believe that a poor black man in public space is a deadly threat. And it is that ethos that deputizes the Daniel Pennies of the world to take matters into their own hands, to become vigilantes on behalf of this state project, do the work of disappearing black and brown people from our communities.
Say so.
That ain't right.
It's not right. And unfortunately, it's not an isolated event. This kind of fatal vigilantism is happening across this country every day. Poor and unhoused people, particularly people of color, are terrorized by it every single day. The campaign that public officials use to pass these agendas is not only perpetuating this violence, but it is exonerating the people who commit it. We really need to do what everyone today is calling for, and to hold these public officials accountable to the world that they've created, and to force them to stop this campaign where they continue to sacrifice the bodies of poor people, of black and brown people, of hungry people, of tired people, at the altar of elite, wealthy, private interests.
All right.
Say it.
Thank you.
Repeat after me. 815.
815.
And counting.
And counting.
815.
815.
And counting.
And counting.
It's a damn shame. Dr. Steve, join us.
Who else is from the healthcare community who's here today? Doctors, nurses, social workers, other mental health workers.
No.
Y'all in the house, raise your hands, yes. Now we're here because we know that it doesn't have to be this way. There are models of care that already exist. They need to be funded. They need to be supported. I have here a death certificate. for the 815 or more New Yorkers whose cause of death has an actual medical code. We call it the ICD. Neglect and abandonment. Confirmed. That's the cause of death. It doesn't have to be this way. To my fellow white, middle and upper middle class, working class friends, family members, if you want public safety is health care. Public safety is mental health care. It's affordable housing. It's education. It's violence interruption. So that when you see a vigilante lynching, you can safely intervene. Or maybe even it wouldn't happen. We need reentry services, we need supportive treatment, we need jobs at a living wage. Daniel's Law, non-police response for a mental health crisis. But it needs to be fully funded. And at the end of the day, we also, representing the New York Doctors Coalition and Physicians for National Health Program, we also need the New York Health Act to pass. As part of fully funding medical care and mental health care in a completely integrated fashion, accessible, no out-of-pocket costs for everybody. Folks, it doesn't have to be this way. The funding is there. The last 45 years, there has been a deliberate political policy to move income and wealth to the top 0.01% and away from all the rest of us. It doesn't have to be this way. Make the change, and also let's be the change.
Thank you. Thank y'all for standing with us. We expect y'all to be fighting with us.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Say his name, Jordan Neely.
I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
For Building Bridges, stay strong, pay close attention, and remember, those who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.